The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great morning. Wanted to read to you from the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is such a great and encouraging book. Nehemiah was such a tremendous leader. You know, he was the one called by God to go to Jerusalem and to rally the people to rebuild the wall. The wall had been broken down for 142 years, broken down in 586 by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So Nehemiah, this leader extraordinaire, goes to Jerusalem. And he says in chapter 2, "So I went out at night by the valley gate in the direction of the dragon's well, inspecting the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were consumed by fire." And he checked it all out, and he said to the officials, "You see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach." I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, "Let us arise and build." So they put their hands to do the work. Listen, I believe that America is kind of like the situation there in Nehemiah. The walls are broken down. Our country has been devastated by years and years and years and years of waste and liberal ideologies that have just poisoned the food and poisoned the well, so to speak. And I think Donald Trump is coming in this this his second term, and he's coming to drain the swamp. He's coming to right the ship. He's coming to really look at things from a business perspective and say, what do we need to do to make America great again? And so if you're going to drain the swamp, you're going to hear the screams and the cries of the swamp creatures. And we are hearing that from the left. And so I am excited today to welcome my good friend, Bishop E.W. Jackson, the founder and president of Stand, Staying True to America's National Destiny, the host of The Awakening. Bishop Jackson is a pastor, an author, and a home run speaker. Our folks at First Baptist Texarkana loved when Bishop Jackson came here just several months ago. And so, Bishop, welcome to the program today.
Pastor Jeff, it's great to be with you as always. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, you're very welcome, my friend. And I always like to get your perspective. So Donald Trump has just been president for a couple of weeks, and already so much has happened. As I said at the top, Bishop, I kind of liken him to Nehemiah inspecting the situation and say, we need to do this and we need to do that and we need to do the other. And let us arise and build. Let us arise and fix this mess. How do you see it?
Well, and you're right. You said the swamp creatures will scream. And of course, Nehemiah dealt with some swamp creatures, Sanballat and Tobiah and others who tried to stop him from doing what he was doing. But God had called him to a work. I really believe this, Jeff. I really believe God has called Donald Trump to the work of helping to save this nation. And I just believe that with every fiber of my being, that none of this is an accident, that this is the hand of God moving, not just in behalf of Donald Trump, but moving in behalf of the American people, particularly his people who have been crying out to him for years for for relief from the direction in which the country has been led. You use the term poison. It's poison not only the government, it's poison the entire culture. And he is now addressing that in a very aggressive way. And I have to tell you, I knew I was going to be happy with a Donald Trump administration. I'm happier than I thought I'd be. I really am, because you know, he's going to, I mean, for example, when he talked about policy with regard to all this gender bending confusion, and he said, our rules and regulations must be based on truth. And the truth is that there are only two genders, and that will be the basis of our policy. I mean, I just thought, I haven't heard any other Republican put it that succinctly in such a straightforward way. And I just thought, man, that's exactly what we need to hear.
Amen. Well, you know, Bishop, one of the things I love about you is you're a straight shooter, and you don't hold back, and you tell people you're not nuanced at all. I get so sick of hearing that word bantered around by pastors. Oh, we have to be so nuanced and kind of dance a line. Trump doesn't do that. Trump has so much more boldness than so many guys called by God to preach the word. I don't understand that. We as preachers ought to be very bold, be like a Stephen in Acts 7. We speak to the culture. This is the way it is. And if they stone us, they stone us. But we're going to be faithful. I see more of that in Donald Trump than I see in pastors around the country. How about you?
There is no question. I mean, he is not a politician, even though he is in politics. And so from a professional standpoint, you could say, yeah, he's a politician, but he just doesn't think and act like politicians. He's looking for facts and truth, and then he goes where those lead him, as opposed to, which is what, sadly, most politicians do, even some who call themselves conservatives, they're first bending their neck to look at their own rear end to make sure that they are covered, and then trying to say whatever they think they need to say in order to avoid having anything come back on them. And Donald Trump just, I mean, he's fearless, because I don't believe Donald Trump is primarily looking out for Donald Trump, unlike the Biden administration, where we know it was all about the Biden administration's family, Biden's family and his cronies and the elites around him. Whereas Donald Trump just seems to be concerned about the American people and doing what is best for us. And that gives him a kind of boldness and straightforwardness that is refreshing. In fact, I think Donald Trump is going to turn out to be the greatest president of our lifetime. Now, we don't know what might come later, but it's certainly one of the greatest. I think Donald Trump may even have an edge on Ronald Reagan. I mean, it's an amazing thing to witness.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting about Trump, because he does great things, and then he can get into these little spats, like with Jim Acosta. It's like, why even mess with that guy? Right. He's a pimple on a flea. But Trump just, I think Acosta gets under his skin, and he has to go after him. Let me ask you this, Bishop. I want to play a clip. This was on Laura Ingraham's program just the other day. She talked about the USAID. And how Elon Musk and Donald Trump are looking at that and, you know, gonna really change that and shut it down, whatever they need to do to it. But this is what she had to say about it.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Laura Ingraham. This is Ingraham Angle from Washington tonight. As always, thank you very much for spending some time with us. Turning over the rocks. That's the focus of tonight's angle. When President Trump tasked a willing Elon Musk with making the government more efficient again, it was clear that this exercise wouldn't just be performative, where they review a few programs, make a few cuts, and then just declare victory. No. This time, they were serious. And what better place to start than the ongoing foreign slush fund known as USAID?
In shutting down which we're in the process of doing, shutting down USAID. The reason for that, as opposed to simply, trying to do some minor house cleaning, is that as we dug into USAID, it became apparent that what we have here is not an apple with a worm in it, but we have actually just a bowl of worms.
Yummy, a bowl of worms. And once they started turning over the rocks there, more worms crawled out. USAID should have been disbanded years ago. Now, the agency's top recipient of taxpayer dollars, that has been plagued by allegations of massive waste, fraud, and abuse for decades. And these agencies that benefited rushed to settle with the DOJ after Trump was elected. The largest for-profit contractor for USAID agreed to pay the U.S. government $3.1 million. And that was related to fraudulent billing by a Nigerian subcontractor for a global health supply chain project. And now with the USAID offices at least temporarily shut, with all the dead weight laid off, just imagine how deep this rot goes.
Okay, so Bishop, how deep do you think the rot goes with USAID?
Right to the core. Right to the core. Because, look, I think that the UN in general and everything that grows out of it is just one big cancerous ball of corruption, because they don't have a moral core. They don't have a set of moral standards. They are primarily leftists, totalitarianists, tyrants, and they hate America. They hate Israel because we are rational societies. We're not perfect, but we're rational societies that respect the individual liberty and human dignity of every person. And so there's no way. I mean, I've often advocated we just need to come out of the UN and figure out something else to do. But USAID, I mean, and that clip didn't mention the fact that they also side up and support Hamas and all of these terrorist efforts. I mean, it's just, he's right. Something's got to give. And I don't think reform is in order. I think we've just got to defund these organizations. Now, there are some who are arguing that you can't because it was set up by Congress or sanctioned by Congress. But I think the president needs to use his power and, if necessary, push Congress to do something to end the debacle. You know, just one other quick footnote. Yeah. You know, we forget all this money is yours and mine and our right. audiences and the American people's. It's not coming out of some politician's pocket. It's our money that they're using right. to foster corruption.
Bishop, what would you say to the people that are up in arms about Elon Musk having so much power? I've heard people say, we didn't elect Elon Musk for anything. You know, they try and pit Elon against Trump and it's President Musk and all those things. Obviously, Trump is tapping into that guy's expertise in cutting waste. How would you respond to the argument that Elon Musk has no authority, we don't need to listen to him?
The last thing in the world I'm concerned about is somebody usurping authority from Donald Trump. I just don't think he is of that kind of personality or mindset. I think Donald Trump will use the people around him for the purposes that he thinks they can best be used in a good way to serve his agenda. And I think if they cease to do that, they will be gone in a heartbeat. So I think this is just silliness. The president has the ability and he has the authority to appoint the people that he needs to serve his agenda. He's chosen out, chosen Elon Musk. And by the way, look, I always say, I always look at Elon Musk with a little bit of reservation because I know he's an atheist. But then I'm reminded, you know, God can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. I mean, he's used right. people throughout the history of in scripture who wouldn't have been your choice or mine. But God used right. them to get things right. done. And I think God is in this case using Elon Musk. I pray for Elon Musk's salvation, frankly.
Yeah, I've heard him, you know, I think he's kind of culturally accepting of Christianity, kind of like Richard Dawkins likes culture of Christianity. But obviously he's a smart guy, and so pray for him that the light would come on and God's Holy Spirit would open his mind to truth. Tulsi Gabbard, she's one of those that a lot of people, you know, will say, oh, I don't trust her. She seems to have, you know, this weird background with Syria and things like that. What's your take on Tulsi Gabbard?
Well, I've got some skepticism about her, too, because, and of course, you know, I come from a biblical worldview on this, and I'm always a little bit, excuse me, a little bit skeptical about entrusting too much power and authority to people who do not have a Judeo-Christian worldview. She is a Hindu. But I think we've got to defer to President Trump's choices for the people he thinks will best serve his agenda.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, coming to you from Austin, Texas, talking to my good friend Bishop E.W. Jackson in Virginia. And we're talking about the Trump administration evaluating the first 2.5 weeks here. Trump has done so much in such a little bit of time. He is working to drain the swamp for your good, for our good, for America's good. We need to be praying for him. We know that it's not going to come without a battle. And so as we pray and as we stand up for truth, we know that God will bless. We're up against a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, talking to my good friend Bishop E.W. Jackson, and we're talking about the Trump administration and the warp speed of changes that are being made to our government. Nehemiah chapter 2, we began the broadcast with a passage from Nehemiah chapter 2. I want to keep reading on that. So Nehemiah checked out the broken down walls of Jerusalem, and he said to the officials, "You see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach." I told them how the good hand of God had been favorable to me and about the king's words. Then they said, "Let us arise and build." But Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard it. When they heard it, they mocked us and despised us and said, "What is this you are doing? You are rebelling against the king." So I answered them and said to them, "The God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem." Now, Bishop, we talk about draining the swamp and how the swamp creatures will scream and will fight. And just as Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and the other officials of the neighboring nations around Judah, neighboring cities and things, attacked them and threatened them and did the things that they did when the wall was going up. What do you see in America today? Because it's not just coming from the Democrats. It seems to also be coming from some rhinos.
I was going to say, you know, it's amazing. You got Democrats in the Book of Nehemiah and some rhinos, too. Look, you know, here's the distinction. And, you know, I've often quoted Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. With regard to President Trump, and of course the first thought, well, wait a minute, President Trump, would you call him righteous? And I say, I define righteous not as perfect, because then nobody would qualify other than Jesus. But what I believe it means there is someone who is really sincerely trying to serve people. Notice the difference. It says when the righteous are in authority, meaning they're exercising lawful, appropriate authority. But then it says when the wicked rules, they want to rule over people. They want to command people. Mm-hmm. And you know, what's going on in the Book of Nehemiah is the same thing going on now. Donald Trump's trying to move in behalf of the American people, and others who are having their own interests, their own little fiefdoms, their own little feathered nests rocked, they are upset because it's going to get in the way of their power. It's going to get in the way of their influence. It's going to get in the way of their making money. But President Trump is just, he is storming through with a bulldozer to tear all that stuff down. And I think it's great, which is why we as Christians should maintain our independent biblical worldview and evaluate everything in that light. But I think, generally speaking, President Trump is someone we can get behind and support with full enthusiasm.
I do, too. And, you know, Bishop, when you think about like a coach that takes over a team that's really doing poorly, he's got to make some very decisive choices, and he's got to cut some players. He's got to do some things that are going to shake up the team and upset the apple cart. Trump seems to be doing that, and he has skin like a rhinoceros in one respect, where he can take a licking and keep on ticking, and he doesn't stop no matter what you throw at him. And you had mentioned about Ronald Reagan. I don't think Ronald Reagan had that same constitution that Trump has, although right. I love Ronald Reagan. He is the guy for the hour in terms of how he's wired and what he's willing to do and the shots he's willing to take figuratively and literally.
You know, and again, we always have to be careful comparing anybody to Jesus, but of course the Bible is instructive for us all. And, you know, I think Jesus teaches us that we are to take a stand for righteousness and really not care what anybody thinks about that, because that's the approach that he took. We care about the people, but we don't care what they think about our stand for righteousness. And, you know, Donald Trump really has that kind of constitution. He doesn't care what anybody thinks. And often he will say things. I mean, for example, even this populism, the tariffs. I mean, for a long time, that was considered to be heresy in Republican circles. Tariffs and interfering with free trade. Donald Trump has got everybody thinking differently because he was willing to think differently. And he didn't care what economists said. He didn't care what the experts right. said. He said, because this is what's better for America. And I think that, you know, the Bible says we as Christians are supposed to love truth and hate falsehood. And I really believe Donald Trump kind of viscerally thinks that way. I think he loves truth. And I think when something is just false and off, he hates it and he's coming against it.
Bishop, what would you say to the people that want to cry out, hey, we're not loving our neighbor. We're sending all these wonderful people back, you know, to their countries and they've done nothing wrong. You know, all that, obviously, as Tom Holman has made it clear. They're in the country illegally. They have done something wrong. They're criminals based on our laws. And how do you respond to the, not to use a pejorative, but the bleeding hearts that say, oh, we can't do this. We need to just love everybody and just wrap our arms around them and sing kumbaya.
Well, I think that's suicidal because you can't have civilization without the rule of law. It's just not possible. I think that's why the book of Proverbs says those who disregard the law, even their prayer is an abomination to God, because without law, without standards, nothing else is going to work. And I think it's been right to point out the people who come across our borders illegally are criminals. Now, they're not necessarily murderers or rapists or robbers. Of course, some are. But they're all criminals because they have come into our country illegally. You cannot let that stand and then say, but we still have civilization and the rule of law. So while, sure, you can have compassion for individuals, but, you know, the best thing for them is to go back to their home country and for those who are eligible, apply the proper way and try to come into our country in the way that we prescribe by law. And they're welcome to do that. But no, they're not welcome to come in this way. And there's no kind of pseudo-compassion that suggests we ought to ignore the fact that they are violating our sovereignty and invading our country because that's the Christian thing to do. I don't think that's the Christian thing to do. In fact, I just preached out of this where the Word of God says, those who will not care for their own are worse than infidels and have mm-hmm. denied the faith. So we are responsible for caring for our families first, for America first, and then whatever we can do to help others, we're glad to do, but not if it means dismantling what God has given us here.
Now, Bishop, how much grief have you taken, and I know you have thick skin too, with just your stand? I mean, you have the ministry called Staying True to America's National Destiny, and no doubt you've had people come against you, and, you know, Bishop Jackson, he doesn't care about anybody else. All he cares about is America, and God bless us when we care about the you know, Samaritan and the stranger and that kind of thing. How have you stood up to those kinds of attacks against you?
Well, it happens. You know, you just reminded me, I had a mayor of a city who was talking to a friend of mine say about me one time. They mentioned me and said, well, you know, he would be great for this, that. The person said, E.W. Jackson hates black people. What? So, look, I get all of that kind of crazy stuff. But I'll tell you something. Here is what helps me. First of all, I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm trying to be consistent with the word. And so, again, I really don't care what they think. But we have a breakfast in Chesapeake, the Martin Luther King Leadership Breakfast, which is different than what you'll find in most places because it's really unifying. It doesn't focus on race. It focuses on merit. And we give awards to various leaders of various backgrounds. I had a woman come up to me at the end of the breakfast and she said, I want to apologize to you. It was a black woman. I want to apologize to you. And of course, I looked at her thinking, I don't really know you. Why would you want to apologize to me? She said, because the first time I heard you speak, she said, I hated every word you had to say. And I disagreed with every word you had to say. She said, but now I'm here to tell you, I agree with everything you say. And I love every word. She said, so I wanted to apologize. I didn't get it at first. And we just had a laugh together. So, you know, you don't know who you're reaching. You don't know who you're touching. And sure, there may be people who get angry with you, but there are other people whose eyes and hearts are being opened. And I try to just stay focused on that because you know, I really do care about that. That moves me. And I really don't care about the people who want to excoriate me and call me names and all that.
Right. Well, you know, I think about Martin Luther King a lot as it relates to his dream that we would evaluate people based on their, you know, not the color of their skin, but the measure of their character and the content of their character. Mm-hmm. You know, that has been totally hijacked, Bishop, as you well know, with DEI. DEI is all about the color of somebody's skin or their sexual orientation or whatever. It has nothing to do with merit. And we need to get back to a merit system.
Well, you know, the Bible says, I think it's Proverbs 11:1 says, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord. And I was talking to my son the other day, and he said, Dad, you know, he said, that really, I had never thought about that. He said, but that really hit me because that's what that is. It's dishonest scales. It is saying, I'm going to put my thumb on the scale for this person because of some immutable characteristic that they have. And I'm going to lift my thumb off the scale for this person because of some immutable character. That's dishonest. Because every person should be evaluated on the same measure and for the same merit. And so I'm so glad, for example, that President Trump is getting rid of all this stuff in the military and the government so that people really can rise. You know, with this terrible accident we just had in Washington, D.C., and we haven't fully gotten to the bottom of it. But if it turns out that DEI policies were in part responsible for this terrible incident, you know, it's a reminder to us all, not a single one of us cares the color of the skin of the pilot or the skin of the surgeon or the skin of the person who is doing some important work for us. We care about the ability of that person. And, you know, we want to respect everybody based upon having achieved where they are rather than having been given it by lowering the standards. I think that's just going to be better for America in general.
I agree with that. Let me turn the page to RFK Jr. I think they're voting on him today, and he's a controversial pick for Health and Human Services. But I mean, Bishop, you can't deny the fact that we spend more money than anybody else on health, and we have the worst health in the nation and in the world. It doesn't make sense. Something has got to change. He will change things up, and that's why he gets my vote. What do you say about him?
Absolutely. You know, I read his book on Anthony Fauci, and I've said somewhat tongue in cheek, but I say I'd vote for him just for that. I mean, the book is a tour de force, and I mean, it just rips Anthony Fauci apart with facts and footnotes and information. This man has really committed crimes against humanity. I'm convinced of that. And he'll talk about somebody who ought to be in jail. I think Anthony Fauci ought to be in jail because I think he's responsible for the deaths of many, many people. Now, look, I'm glad that RFK has said that he's going to follow President Trump's pro-life approach. I was very glad to hear that. And I hope that he will clean up because, look, you're right. America, I always say it this way. We don't have a healthcare system. We have a sick care system.
Right.
We don't focus on trying to keep people healthy and make people healthy. We focus on trying to deal with sickness. Nothing wrong with that. People are going to get sick. But we ought to focus a lot more on health. And that's where I see him coming from. And I think that's going to be a very good thing. I mean, all these additives in our foods, those are not good for us and may be driving the high rates of cancer and heart disease and high blood pressure and other things. I mean, I think this is going to be refreshing to see a person get in there who really wants, again, to see make America healthy again.
Right. I like that. I liked his exchange with Bernie Sanders. He kind of exposed Bernie for the fraud that he is, taking all that money from Big Pharma. Now, Bernie tried to play that off. Do you know some about that? I mean, it does seem legit that those people are taking money from Big Pharma. And when you start taking money from those folks, it stands to reason that you're going to defend them and not go after them.
Anytime you hear a leftist decrying the rich and talking about redistribution of wealth, take a look inside his pockets, and the likelihood is that you'll find plenty of money in there that has come from wealthy people and wealthy companies that are financing that person. Look, because here again, we know this is rank hypocrisy. It's just like Barack Obama lecturing us about there comes a moment when you have enough money. But I don't see him turning any down. And he's reputed to be worth $100 million now as a result of these Netflix contracts and book contracts. You know, this stuff is just rank hypocrisy. And I really believe that RFK, somewhat like Donald Trump, could care less about how much what Big Pharma can do for him. I think he cares about bringing truth to our pharmaceutical industry and to our medical healthcare system. And I just think that it's going to be a very, very good thing. But yeah, Bernie Sanders and all these leftists are getting plenty. I mean, I hear them still complaining now about big tech. Big tech's been filling their pockets for years. And now they're complaining because they've decided, you know, maybe we don't want to be President Trump's enemies.
Yeah, that's for sure. Real quick, Bishop, how do you evaluate Trump's use of the tariffs? I know that people kind of go back and forth on that. What is your take on it?
I had a long discussion with a friend who called me about this yesterday, concerned about it and concerned about what it would do to the economy. Look, I think President Trump is on to something here. And I think these trade deficits and abuse of our economy by other countries is something's going to come to an end. And I think he's going to use tariffs to negotiate that.
Amen. Well, I'm talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson. We're talking about the Trump administration, evaluating the pros and cons. It seems to be not very many cons, lots and lots of pros. If you have a question or a comment, we're going to open the phone lines when we come back from the break. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment for Bishop Jackson and myself, please give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop. So we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here with my good friend Bishop E.W. Jackson as we talk about the Trump administration and the decisions that Trump is making, wise decisions to benefit the masses, to benefit the country. But not everybody's favorite is President Trump, and the left really hates him because he is very decisive. And he does make decisions. He doesn't let the grass grow under his feet. And he sees what needs to be done, and he does it. And Bishop, he's pretty amazing from the standpoint of, I don't think the guy sleeps more than 4 or 5 hours a night. He starts early and he goes late and he never seems to run out of energy. What do you make of that?
Well, look, I think he's a gifted man. And I think that's what we're witnessing. I think we're witnessing God's gift on a man's life. And we're benefiting from that. By the way, can I go back just for a second to RFK? Because I forgot to mention, the one thing that he has not talked about and the one thing that this campaign did not address is the breakdown of family in America. And I really believe that that's driving a lot of our social problems. In fact, driving most of our social problems, whether it's crime or violence or prison overpopulation or alcoholism or drug addiction, you name it. And abortion, by the way. And so my organization is hosting a panel discussion called The Crisis of the American Family. It's the first thing we're doing under the Family Restoration Institute, which we formed last year. And we're going to have an important panel discussion about this very issue, because I think I don't want government to try to solve the problem, because we've had too much of that. But figure out what policies get in the way of family. What policies are incentivizing men to leave the home? What policies are discouraging marriage and encouraging, you know, shacking up and children out of wedlock? And figure out how we rebuild it. Because, look, I'm convinced of this, Jeff. If we don't rebuild a family in America, everything else we do is going to be on a very, very slippery and an uncertain foundation. I think the family is what is key to the social cohesiveness of our country for the future. So that's going to be Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And they can go to our website, standamerica.us, to learn more about it and to learn how to watch it on live stream.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm glad you're tackling that. What do you think about the Department of Education? Because John Kennedy had a funny little quote. Randy, if you can play that.
To my friends who are upset, I would say with respect, you know, call somebody who cares. Yeah, they better get used to this. It's USAID today. It's going to be Department of Education tomorrow.
Department of Education tomorrow. Now, Bishop, as you know, the U.S. used to lead the world in education, and now we're horrible. And it was under Jimmy Carter, 1979, that the U.S., we came up with the Department of Education. We were first in the world. Now we're 34th in the world. The Department of Education's budget for fiscal year 2025 is $82.4 billion, with an average salary of $112,000, 56% higher than the average government employee. I mean, if you look at this from a business perspective, you say that department is a total waste, cut it loose. But now you're going to hear screams like never before if he does that.
Well, it's tragic for the American people and for the next generation, for our country in general, and for the next generation in particular, because it means that they're going to fall behind the other industrialized nations of the world. And since people are increasingly mobile, just like Elon Musk said, I think wrongly, that America has become a nation of mediocrity, and we need these foreign engineers to come in from India and China under the H-1B visa program. I mean, we're going to get more and more and more of that if we don't get our educational system squared away. And the Department of Education has been the problem, not the solution. Of course, there's not much, with all due respect to Jimmy Carter, I mean, he's passed away now. I hope he's home with the Lord. But I can't think of anything that Jimmy Carter did that really left a legacy in this country, as president at least, that helped us. And the Department of Education, in my view, it's got to go. But since that is probably unlikely, at the very least, it needs to retool to encourage choice in education rather than locking people into these failing government schools that, particularly for poor and inner city people, but it's really true across the board, they've become indoctrination camps. They're not educating kids anymore. They're indoctrinating them. And so, yeah, we need to either close it down or at the very least retool it and say, you're not getting any support for anything other than to give children and their parents the opportunity to choose schools outside the government system.
Amen. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment. And we have Ryan on the line from Texas. Ryan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I have a quick question. You know, they were talking in the last episode about getting rid of the income taxes, and this may sound funny to most people, but couldn't they do like a national ballot and let the people decide, you know, kind of like a vote that you do for presidency? You know, let the whole nation decide on if we want to get rid of the income tax or not.
Boy, if we did that, Bishop, I think everybody would vote to get rid of it.
I would love it. And you know, I ran for president and have been following this issue for a long time. And I really believe that we need to scrap the IRS and scrap the whole income tax system and move to either a flat tax or to a consumption tax. And I think the way to do it before we launch into it nationwide is to experiment in one or two or three states and carve out, but legislatively carve those states out so that they can use a different system, examine how it affects their economies, examine how what kind of revenues we collect, and figure out how to do this so that we can, I think it will unleash the productive capacities of the American people like never before when we don't have to spend billions upon billions trying to satisfy the IRS.
Yeah, great point. Yeah, thanks, Ryan. That was a good comment. We have Larry on the line from Louisiana. Larry, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Larry, are you there?
This is Jerry. Is that it?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Jerry. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I wanted to find out if you'd heard or whether or not if President Trump or Brother Jackson there, either one, had heard anything maybe about him opening back that Keystone Pipeline and getting work on it and getting it finished or not. That was a lot of jobs that Biden killed when he shut that down.
Yeah, that's true. Bishop, have you heard anything about that?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, I thought I heard him say, that's a good question, though, because I haven't heard anything about it lately, that I heard him say that he was going to reopen the Keystone Pipeline. Now, of course, these things sometimes are easier said than done because we don't know what the legalities are or the technicalities are either for reopening it. But I did hear him say during the campaign that he would reopen the Keystone Pipeline because, of course, getting the energy flowing again, making America not only energy independent, but making America a source of energy for the rest of the world as well, so we become energy dominant, is one of his big things. So I'll take a look at that. I'm sure we will all take a look at it now that you've raised the question, because I haven't heard anything about it since he's been inaugurated.
Okay, so Bishop, the idea, I remember in studying this in school, with the idea of isolationism, America's just going to separate from the world. Some might say what Trump is doing is kind of separating America and we're making all these enemies with tariffs and things like that. What would be your response to that argument?
I would say just the opposite. I think when you hold our allies accountable and say to them, look, you must pay your fair share for NATO. You must pay your fair share for defense. We cannot carry you. I think you're strengthening those relationships, because where are they going to turn? To China? And I think that when the president goes after some of these terrorists, as he just did recently, I think he's saying to the world, we are very much engaged. And, you know, this bombing in Syria, we are very much engaged. Don't think we're going to close the door and walk away. We are in this, but we're going to be treated fairly, and we're going to hold everybody accountable, our enemies for anything they try to do against us, and our allies for what they're supposed to be doing with us and for us.
Very good. Well, we have Marty on the line from Iowa. Marty, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, gentlemen, it's so great to hear both of your voices. Bishop Jackson, before Trump had made an announcement of VP, I happened to be on the program with you and Jeff, and I'm the one who was telling you to say, me, me, me. I was just curious with this new administration, are you still open and available to be some aspect of this Trump administration to be a service to our country? And I already know you're doing that in everything you're doing, but I'd still love to hear your name in this administration somehow.
Well, that's very kind of you. Look, I've taken this approach. If the president asked me to serve in some capacity, I don't know that I could ever say no, because I love my country. I have deep admiration for him. But I haven't gone seeking that because, you know, I like being an honest broker and being able to speak as a Christian rather than feeling, because, you know, when you join the administration, you know, that's kind of it. You don't speak for yourself anymore. You speak for the president. Right. So, but look, if asked, I'd have a hard time saying no.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. We have Larry on the line from North Carolina. Larry, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. Listen, I wanted to bring attention to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. possibly going in as HHS secretary. I see a lot of positives in that. And I'm hoping he will look at urging Congress to overturn the Adoption and Save Families Act, which was signed by Bill Clinton back in 1997. I heard Bishop Jackson talking about the family and the attacks on the family. I just want to throw some numbers out to you. The latest data from the Administration for Children and Families shows that in 2023, I believe these numbers are from 23, over 7.7 million American children were referred to child welfare agencies. 7.7 million children. That's about 10% of the kids in the U.S. that are investigated for potential abuse every year. And of those numbers, 92% of the children who were investigated were not found to be victims. Now, I have a personal story here. My granddaughter was medically kidnapped back in 2022. And my son has not seen his daughter in nearly 3 years because they have accused him of abuse, which he did not commit. Mm. This is an epidemic that's kind of been swept under the rug and kept in the closet. But this there's actually monies coming from the Title IV funds because of this ASFA signed by Bill Clinton in 97. Monies come from my Social Security account, Title IV E funds. And it goes down to hospitals, it goes down to state governments, it goes down to local governments. And I have talked to social workers who actually say that they have quotas to take kids from families. This is a very bad problem, and I'd like some feedback on it from you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, Bishop, do you have anything to say about that?
When I was practicing law, I represented a lot of families who were accused by then the Department of Social Services up in Massachusetts of abuse. And often it came down to spanking, or came down to literally making children go to church. They considered that to be a sign of abuse, and I am not exaggerating. So I had not been aware of that data, that statistic you just quoted, but I'm going to look into that, because that's another issue why we need to rebuild families, so that. And the government needs to be family friendly rather than against the family, because I found often the government was completely at odds with strong, stable families because they wanted the family built the way they wanted it to be built, and which is godless and kind of, you know, the kid can do whatever they want to do and parents don't really have any authority. And so it's a mess right now. And if that's what Bill Clinton signed, that deserves some attention.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Larry, for that. One last call, Ronnie from Alabama. Ronnie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Boy, thank y'all for taking my call. I just wanted to say to Bishop Jackson that I consider him an American treasure. His ideas and his beliefs and his seriousness of, you know, all these different issues that we have in our country are the right ones to straighten them out. And as well as Abraham Hamilton, I consider him a national treasure.
Thank you, brother.
And I hope, Brother Jackson, that you'll work towards, what is it, the next presidential election.
There you go. That'd be great.
Okay.
I appreciate that, Ronnie. All right. Bishop, thanks so much for being my guest today. It's always a pleasure, my friend.
Pastor Jeff, thank you.
God bless you, brother. Hope to see you soon. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hey, remember, you got a job to do today, and that is to shine and share. I already got to talk to the lady at the hotel today about Jesus, and she's a believer, and God's doing great things in her life. So open your mouth, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.